to those who are listening virtually. I'm Brother Banks. Would you please bow with me? Before we approach your throne, O Lord, we ask you for forgiveness of our sins. We thank you, Lord God, for your unexpected grace being a part of our lives day to day. That no matter whatever we have gone through or going through, it's leading us to you, for that's your divine plan. You have chosen us to push back the darkness in this world and to humble ourselves ever before you at all times, to realize that you're the only one who have walked this earth that is perfect. It's not an excuse to sin, not an excuse to be in our feelings when we communicate with each other. It's to know that we are instruments to be used by you. Lord God, we thank you for letting us enter the seventh month of 2025. Your unexpected grace has carried us. Your continuous love has lifted us up in our darkest times. And your kindness have helped us celebrate the victories in our lives, even the small ones to the greatest. We thank you, Lord. Let us be hearers and doers of your word. Amen. The scripture we will look at today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 to verse 11. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the suffering of Christ, blessed, abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for our consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same suffering which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation, and our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as we are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will be partakers of the consolation. Let us be hearers and doers of God's word. Amen.
Somewhere, oh, I'll be somewhere. I'll be somewhere listening for my name.
Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you sorrowfully for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecute they the prophets which were before you. That's it. Good morning. Whether you are a Franklin family member, virtual guest, or a visitor, I am grateful that we are here, grateful that the Lord gave us the opportunity to worship him, grateful that he gave us the opportunity to see another day, grateful that he gave us the opportunity to gather as a brothers and sisters to glorify his name. Before we go to the reading of the text of this morning, which the name or title is The God of All Comfort, I want to say this. The book of 2 Corinthians is the passage in the New Testament that speaks more about the consolation than any other. The consolation of God, the grace of God through his people. And also, the Apostle Paul, who wrote this book, is the apostle of comfort, or is the apostle of consolation. Because when the Apostle Paul wrote this book, he was in a situation that probably nobody wanna be. He was in tribulation. Therefore, the Apostle Paul is considered the apostle of balm, the apostle of refreshment, the apostle of relief. He is the apostle of all consolation. There is no other apostle, on my personal opinion, I don't prove me wrong, like the Apostle Paul. The passage that our brother Ben read this morning, which was 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to 11, is the passage of consolation. So, and I don't know if you noticed, but many times we heard the word comfort or consolation. I think it's appeared about a good 10 times. Another side, 2 Corinthians is the book of all suffering. Tribulation is the book of all danger for the Christians. There is no other book in the New Testament that spoke a lot about tribulation need as 2 Corinthians. And at that time, when Paul wrote this book, he was going through a lot of stuff. And that's something that we're going to see as we go this morning. Also, 2 Corinthians is the book of a tribulation, because in this book, or on this passage, Paul was sentenced to a death, to the point that he lost a hope to preserve his life. That's what he was going through. So let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 8, say, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which come to us in Asia." In the tribulation that he mentioned over here, it was what I just said before. He was in a situation that he lost the hope to be alive. He lost the hope to preserve his life. The reading continues saying, "Burning, strength so that we despair even of life." That's what Paul mentioned. As I say before, 2 Corinthians is the book of all tribulation. So let's see another other passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. "We are hard pressed on every side, ye not crooked. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecute, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. But in all things, we commend ourselves as ministry of God in much patience, in tribulation, in need, in distress, in stripes, and in imprisonment, in tumult, and labors, and sleepiness, and feeding. That's the life of a Christian. Yeah. That's the life of a Christian. That's the way. As Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 say, is the straight gate. Because the life of a Christian is not easy. 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verse 23 to 27. Are they ministry of Christ? I spoke as a fool. I am more, Paul said. In labor more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequently, and that often, verse 24, from the Jew five times, I received 40 stripes minus one. There three times I was beat with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. One night and one day, I have been in deep, in journey often, in pilgrim of waters, in pilgrim of robbers, in pilgrim of my own countrymen, in pilgrim of the Gentile, in pilgrim of the city, in pilgrim of the wilderness, pilgrim of the sea, pilgrim among the false brothers. That's the life that Paul was going through. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, the ministry is dangerous. Right, Brother Colin? It's very dangerous. Even among those who you think they are brothers in Christ. That's the reason why I constantly see Brother Banks watching. Because this is nothing new. Yeah. And in chapter 11, verse 32 and 33, Paul said, in Damascus, the governor under arrest of the king was guarding the city of the Damascenes, which a garrison, deciding to arrest me. 40 men swear that they're not going to eat or drink nothing until Paul will be dead. That's what he's going through. Verse 33 say, but I was left down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hand. Now we see Paul, the one who have authority and power from the governors and from the high priest to persecute the church. Now he's the one who has been getting persecuted. And to put that cherry on that piece of cake, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, the 12th chapter, verse 7, Bible say, unless I should be exiled upon mystery, but the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh would give to me a messenger of Satan, see, to both me, lest I be what? Excel above measure. On top of all those circumstances that we already read, now a turn was given to Paul. Yeah? That's me. Who have been recently baptized here? Yeah? No one? Yeah? Welcome to the way. As a Christian, we're going to suffer. We're going to suffer. Yeah. So what is my point? That even though all these tribulations, all these circumstances, all these troubles, all this tribulation, even the turn that Paul was going through, Paul began the letter saying, "Bless the God and even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That means then Paul, even with all this situation that he going through, even knowing that he lost the hope to preserve his life or to keep himself alive, he began saying, "Bless the God and even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Because the true Christian, my brothers and sisters, the true Christian bless the Lord even in the more difficult times in life. Because he know, and we shall know, that the blessing of the Lord is not more based on this earthly living. Our blessings are spiritual. And we shall know that even if we lost our life, even if we go through all type of tribulation in this earth, there is something for us more bigger in heaven than what we can see in this earth. So even if we go through every single situation, as far as losing jobs, family, even though if we get diagnosed with cancer or any other tumor, any disease, the true Christian must bless the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we can learn that from Paul. It's interesting that this formula of bless the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, appeared 3 times in the New Testament. Yeah. The first one is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. But also, when we go to Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 3 and 4, we say, "Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Verse 4, "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we shall be holy," see, "and without blame before him in love." Paul blessed the God and even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ for what he did for us, even before the foundation of the world. Yeah. My point here is that Paul blessed our God. He blessed the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ for the thing that he did in the past before you and I was created. But also, the Apostle Peter, on 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, let's read. He say the same formula. Same formula that we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Also the same formula that we find in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, we find it on 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begot us again to living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead." Now we see in Peter blessing the God and the Father of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ for what he's going to do in the future. Y'all with me? That means that our God blesses not just in the past, he blesses, he's going to bless us in the future. Amen? And we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, Bible say, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all measure and God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulation." That's me. He comfort us right now. That means the comfort or consolation of God for us is being in the past, before we was created, is for the future, and is for today. What a blessing. Amen. And it say, he comfort in the present, he comfort us in the future, and he comfort us right now. Our God is glorious. The God of the Bible, the God of the Bible is a glorious God. And he is amazing. There's no other God like our God. Verse 4 say, "Who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we might be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Verse 3 say, "Father of all mercy." The word "father" means that God is the fountain, that God is the sources, that God is the urging of all comfort. And this word applies not just to God the Father, but also apply to God the Son, our Jesus Christ, as a comfort. Apply to the Holy Spirit as the comfort, but also apply to his word and apply to every single one of us as a Christian. Because when we read in the fourth verse, the Bible said that who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we, who those are we? It's us. That we might be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. What I want to say with this? That if I get stumped, I get cursed in my job, I get cursed in the supermarket, if I get cursed even sometimes in our own house. Amen? Because that's happening. I've seen it. Husband treating wife bad. Wife treating husband bad. But when we come to the church, as a church, it's got to be a place where we receive what? Comfort. But if y'all been going through all those stuff outside and all of a sudden I came to church and I'm getting cursed too, that's a problem. Yeah. And sometimes, unfortunately, that's what happened in church. Preachers used the pulpit to stump people. That doesn't mean that we don't have to say the truth, my brother Colin. We got to say it, like it or not. Well, we must say it with love. Consider ourselves, because we might fall in the same situation. So the word consolation or comfort in the New Testament, as I mentioned before, it might be referred to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, to His Word, and to us as a Christian. In the New Testament, the word consolation means go by or go nearby. Literally, hopefully you allow me, because I like to be more practical. Mean come nearby. Brother Colin, I took shower this morning. That's what that means. That's what that means. That's what that means. That's consolation. I was right nearby him, giving him comfort, giving him my presence, giving him my company. And that's what we need to do as a Christians. I'm pretty sure there is a lot of brothers and sisters that they're not here this morning. And I'm pretty sure that you know the name. Maybe you even got the phone call, phone number. But sometimes, brothers and sisters, a text is not enough. A phone call is not enough. Take the time and invite that sister, invite that brother for a beignet, or get you at least a 2 or 3 pound of crawfish. I don't know how they are right now. And give them to the park, to the lake, and, you know, they probably need that. And we as a Christian, since we receive that comfort from our God, we need to give the same thing to those who need it. Amen? Yeah. Second Timothy, the first chapter, verse 16. Paul was sentenced in Rome. He is in Rome. He's having the sentence to death. And he's just waiting right there for his execution. This is the scenario right here. And in verse 16, Paul say, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. Mine is not be chained against them. When Paul was going through his tribulation, when Paul was going through all this situation, no one was by his side. Paul preached to many people. Through his preaching, a lot of people was converted. But no one stood right there with him on that difficult moment. Sometimes that's happened to us. And how we feel about it. But when we read 17th verse, how do you say? But the Lord stood with me and what? And strengthened me. That's why he is the God of all comfort. We need to know that, brothers and sisters, even though when we feel like nobody is with us, the Lord is with us. He comfort us. He bless us. Because he's been doing that even before the foundation of the world. He's going to do it in the future. And he's doing it right now as I'm speaking. Because he's the Lord of all blessing. He is the Lord. He is the God of all comfort. You know what is the more beautiful thing about this? That he is your father. He is my father. He is your God. He is my God. We are his child. The God of all comfort. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 4. And this is going to be the first point of this morning. Say, who comfort us in all, not just some of them. He comfort us in all our tribulation. That's the first point. It doesn't matter what we're going through. There is no situation. There is no tribulation. There is no problem. There is no suffering. There is no fall that God cannot comfort you, that cannot comfort me. Even though when you feel like that nobody is helping you out, but God is doing his job. Point number two. We must know, brothers and sisters, that God comfort you, he comfort me, so we can comfort others. What purpose he do that? He doing this so we can be a tool to bless his people, his church, our community, our family. Let's see 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Before this, I would like to do like a little tricky question. There is no other mission more important to a Christian to preach the gospel, right? Yeah? But let's see this sample right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Furthermore, when I came into Troas, to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord. I know then to every one of us who preach the gospel and teach the word, there is no other better thing when somebody say, hey, can you please help me study the Bible? Can you talk to me about Christ? Man, I'm telling you, and my wife can tell you, I jump. And I normally offer about an hour, but sometimes I already went about 5 hours. Yeah. And when Paul went to Troas, he said that a door was open to him to preach the gospel. Yeah. But when you see verse 13 say, Paul said that he had no rest in his spirit. And the reason why is because he not found Titus. Yeah, it's good to worry about preach the gospel. Yeah, it's something we must do. But there is a lot of our brothers and sisters out there. We ain't been seeing in a good while. Brother Colin, how we doing with that? I gotta think about it, and I encourage you, brothers and sisters, to think about it as well. Some of them are family members. We are there preaching to others. Well, we got our brother, we got our auntie, we got our grandmother. Then we don't pay attention to it. Here we see Paul, that even though if he had the opportunity and a door was open to him to preach the gospel, but he said that he cannot find rest in his spirit. And the reason why is because he didn't know nothing about Titus. Yeah. And he said, my brother. So, chapter 3 when? Remember, he was in Troas. Chapter 3 passed. Chapter 4. The 5th and 6th chapter passed. But we go to the 7th chapter, 2 Corinthians 7 chapter, verse 5 and 6. For indeed, when we came into Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were what? Trouble on every side. Outside were what? Conflict, inside were fears. But in verse 6, nevertheless, God who comforts the who? The one. Comfort us by what? Coming of who? All our tears appear. Now the Spirit came into Paul again. He happy because he's seen tears. He's seen his brother. What a love. How we do when we those that we ain't been seen in a while? How we feel about those that we ain't been sharing in a while? Are we acting selfish? Yeah, it's right. Salvation is, you know, depend how you're doing with the Lord. If you faithful or not, but how we feeling about those who right now in some type of tribulation? How we feel about those who are living in sin right now? See what Paul wants us to remember. He said it to Timothy, but he also said it to us. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, not of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Does someone know my friend Onesiphorus? Someone know Onesiphorus over here? No? No one? Let me introduce you to my friend, Honesty first. Because there is many heroes of faith that we find in the Bible that remain on the anonymous. Then almost nobody talk about it. But I want to talk to you today about my friend Honesty first. 2 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 15. This you know, that all those who eat have turned away from me among who are, help me out, Brother Colin? Praetelius. And imagining. Yeah. 8 years before this, the Apostle Paul preached to them. He was their preacher. But when all this situation began, as far as the tribulation and bad circumstances, they forgot about the preacher. They abandoned Paul. But there was one. Verse 16. And Paul talked about him. And he said, the Lord grant mercy to the whole soul of Onesiphorus. Onesiphorus. And something that we gotta mention, and I wanna get y'all into the context of what was happening at that time. We talk about around 60-64 AC after Christ. In Rome, where Paul was in prison, he was already waiting for his the day of his death. It was one of the worst times for the Christian era. It was when all the Christians used to be brought to their place and use them as a show. Where they used to get eaten by lions, they used to be burned to death in the street of Rome. But we see this guy here named Onesiphorus. And Paul mentioned, for he often helped me and was not what? A chink or my chain. But he, when he arrived in Rome, he did what? He was looking for Paul. And imagine, just imagine. He's a Christian just like the enemy number one of Rome on those days. And it wasn't that it was like an internet back in the days to search online and find out what yell he was into. Only Sifu had to go and knock from door to door. Hey, y'all have been see Paul? Probably went to the next jail and hey, this Paul, the guy that y'all already condemned today, is he here? And you know, some question has to come to the table. Who are you? We talk about the enemy number one of the Roman Empire. And not just that, just imagine. Already, Onesiphorus find out that Paul is in Rome, and he's in jail, and this Onesiphorus packing clothes on his back, and his wife like, where you going, baby? baby, I'm heading to Rome. I'm heading to Rome. But didn't you hear what's going on in Rome right now? Huh? It's like, right now, where everything is going on in this country, going and look for some Spanish brothers and sisters that have been put in ice jail. Imagine. You probably are in the same situation. Imagine. Just like that. On the Onesiphorus packing clothes, but you heard what happened there? Yeah, I know, baby, but I gotta go. Paul need me. I gotta go to Rome. When we read the context, brothers and sisters, Verse 16, when Paul said, the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, it's probably 99% probably that Onesiphorus didn't went back to his household. But we here around New Orleans metro area, West Bank, across the river, we don't have to go through all these scenarios to cheer and encourage our brothers and sisters. All right, if you're on a wheelchair, okay, let's go with a video call. Pray with the brother, encourage your sister. Because we are child of the God of all comfort. And he comfort us so we can do what? Comfort others. There's no excuse about it. And to those who are here and didn't have becoming a child of God, today is a good opportunity. Today is a good opportunity to you becoming a child of God so you can begin and receive all of the Spirit's blessing that we only receive in Christ. In Christ. And the only way to be in Christ is by belief, confess, repent of your sins, getting baptized for the remission of your sins. The invitation is open as we stand and sing.
Jesus, I surrender all to Him.